Shoot. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shoot. Salty Saul, what's cracking over there in Pittsburgh, PA, man? How you doing, man? What's good? How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Life is good. God is good. I'm feeling good, man. I'm telling you. Did I tell you guys I gained a little bit of weight? I went last weekend and I was having pizza and garlic nuts and just those 2 days, dude, 5 pounds. I'm like, no. But I got back right on it and I think I've lost 3 now. So catch a sketch. All right, folks. On this episode of The Salty Show, student loan forgiveness. But as you all know, nothing in life is free. So what's the catch? We're going to talk about the catch on this episode of The Salty Show.
Death comes in threes. Always remember that. Cheney, Stelta, and Fauci.
Well,
3 down, 900 more to go.
Week. All in 1 week.
Well, yeah. 3 down, 800 more to go, right?
Well, hey, the swampy is the swamp.
Get them all. Right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Right.
I think this is why I'm happy. I'm seeing the slow decline. But they're going to try, folks, and I think we're going to get into it with student loan forgiveness. They're going to try to buy back the vote. But before we get into all that, Jeremy, you said you had some J-Vo. What do you want to do? No, let's do healing with Heidi first.
We have to heal first before we talk about
heal
Tim.
Before we get
the J-Files.
Heidi, what do you got for us? We missed you in the last episode, but I think, we're going to shake it up a little bit, do 2 episodes, and whoever can join on what episode. But we're splitting it up. We're going to do the male-female stuff on the weekends, and then we'll do the regular political and everything else during the week. So, that being said, you might hear each one of us on different episodes. But Heidi, what do you got for us on healing? Do you got the book with you or is this one of yours again?
I don't. No, it's not one of mine. It is something that I went out and looked for. So everything is going to be from Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, okay.
Margaret. What do they call it? Maggie?
So I did
Maggie
a little.
Thatcher?
What do they call it? They called it Iron Maiden? No, I forgot what they called her.
The Iron Maiden song.
Go ahead.
So I did a little homework and research based on the whole splitting it up into a couple different episodes. And I thought, well, let's do a little healing with Heidi on a political note. Hmm. And so I thought, let me look into Margaret Thatcher and Winston Churchill. So I'm going to try and add like great political greats and some of the words of wisdom and some of the healing, maybe not always, but that they've given us. So I have a couple quotes from her that I want to throw in there because two of them are like one sentence, two sentencers. And then I have a little bit more, but we'll keep it quick here. Okay. So the problem with socialism is that you eventually run out of other people's money.
Yes, I've said that.
That was coined by Margaret Thatcher. And of course, we can all agree on that. So, and then I'm going to go with a little bit of a bigger one and then I'll wrap it with 2 sentences all to honor Timmy Two Times. Here we go. I think we've been through a period where too many people have been given to understand that if they have a problem, it's the government's job to cope with it. I have a problem. I'll get a grant. I'm homeless. The government must house me. They're casting their problem on society. And you know, there's no such thing as society. There are individual men and women, and there are families. And no government can do anything except through people. And people must look to themselves first. It's our duty to look after ourselves and then also to look after our neighbor. People have got the entitlements too much in mind without the obligations. There's no such thing as entitlement unless someone has met an obligation.
Mm.
It's a little reminiscent of the JFK, right? Ask not what your country can do for you, you know.
Or what you can do for your country.
It's like, you know what? Don't rely on the government. You take care of yourself.
The great economist, and to your point, Jeremy, the great economist, Milton Friedman, I've read a couple of his books, said this all the time, all the time. You know, you will never meet a more generous person than that person that wants to pay for your bills from somebody else's pocket. That's yeah. that's going to be the most generous person you're going to meet. And this, again, I think, correlates all this idea. This, and we're going to get into it with student loans. But sorry to stop you, Heidi. Go ahead.
No. I mean, and that's just the point, right? Like I said, I was really trying to kind of hone in and focus on, you know, politics, but somebody great that was in politics, but clearly had a very like-minded view of what we talk about on the show. And, and she was truly one of the prime ministers of England that had that, democracy or capitalistic view. You know, her dad worked hard in his years and he raised her with the same kind of values as that of a person who works hard for their money and wants to keep their own money and not give it away. And so that's one of the reasons why I did choose her. So, and this just for Timmy two times over here in politics, if you want anything said, ask a man. If you want anything done, ask a woman.
Oh, save it for the male female episode.
No. I had to end it there without because that's got to lead into like Friday. You know, that's gonna have to
cliffhanger folks.
Yeah, cliffhanger for Friday.
It's a teaser.
One of the things that Margaret Thatcher said that I thought was extremely true to today, and just it really hits home on some of the other things. And funny enough, the tags on her comment are appearances and power. And then one of them was like gender roles, gender stereotypes, men versus women. Like these were tags put on her actual quotes. And on the one quote, it says, being powerful is like being a lady. If you have to tell people you are, you aren't. And I understand that she's talking about like the actual, ladies being ladies or females being ladies. But in my mind, when I read that today, I'm thinking, oh, you mean like these men, these biological males that are having to tell society that they are a woman?
Thank you. Great point.
So there you go. Great point. There's some healing with Heidi for you.
I love it.
On
those
the political
were great.
Side.
That's another subject we need to talk about is these crazy.
Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher, ladies and gentlemen.
Maggie.
She was a decent leader.
Yeah. You know?
Good.
Yeah.
She was a good, I mean, see, this is why I believe in divine intervention, divine providence, because she actually came along during a time when Reagan was around. And, you know, to quote Reagan, and we all know this quote, the scariest phrase in the English language is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Right. And it's the same. And they both worked together to bring down, the Iron Curtain, you know, which had gripped Europe for a long time. Yeah. Jeremy.
So Reagan worked a lot with Margaret. Obviously, we were all kids. If you were even, I don't even know if even you 82. Were even born, but I mean, it was. We were all kids at that time. So obviously you weren't following politics. So he worked a lot with Margaret Thatcher to work on that. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
You know, this is funny because I actually saw a program and I started watching it because I watch this guy's TikTok and he's a Mexican guy and he just does funny Mexican cholo skits, you know, and I forget his name, but, he calls himself Creeper, but this is funny. Listen to this. So
that guy's hilarious.
He got a Netflix show, right? Him and his buddy got a Netflix show. I'm sorry, or Hulu show. So they're on Hulu now. And one of the first episode, I think, he walks into a Hispanic, you know, they show the Hispanic house, right? The Hispanic home. And they got pictures of all their family. And then one of Ronald Reagan right in the back. And I'm like, that was my family. That was my family growing up. It was like, I was picking up and then Ronald Reagan. So, you know, I love the show. I love that guy. He's funny. He's hilarious. And that just bought me. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to finish watching the season.
Yeah, you're sold.
I'm sold. But I think people, especially immigrants during that time, you know, obviously, you know, he offered amnesty and asylum to a lot of people who were, you know, fleeing, you know, the communism that was happening, that was taking over Central America. And so, you know, a lot of people, you know, Hispanics specifically during that time, I think a lot of them became Republican at that time. And I think that he was one of the main guys that brought that. Anyways, Jeremy, I know you have the J Files. We missed the J Files. And I don't think I'm ready for the thing, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to say the J Files. What do you got for us?
All right. So I got a couple of short ones here. Both of these actually kind of reminded me a little bit of Tim. And, well, actually, mostly of Tim and a little bit of Nelson. But yeah, he's getting beaten up, but he deserves
it. This is love.
So I'm not going to read the title of the articles. I'm just going to start reading the articles because I think the title tends to give them away.
Yes, good.
But all right, here. People have been left thoroughly grossed out by a TikTok video that appears to show a woman freezing her positive pregnancy test in a popsicle before feeding it to her partner as a way of revealing she's pregnant.
Wait, what?
Tell me what the head. What is the headline?
The headline is people disgusted by a video of a woman putting pregnancy tests inside popsicle and making her boyfriend eat it. Right. So it kind of.
That's not a headline. That's like
That's like the story.
That's the headline of the story. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the TikToker at Living Me Mers,
he lived to tell
recently
about it.
Reshared the clip. Yeah, recently reshared the clip on social media. And people did not hold back in the comment section, as you, I'm sure, you can imagine, right?
Oh my god!
Beneath the video, which had more than a million views, comments like "Ew, why do that?" and "How did she think that was okay?" quickly filled up the the comments.
Okay, hold on a minute. I gotta argue in her defense because, for all we know, listen. For all we know, she and her boyfriend, husband, whatever, are into some kinky crap. We don't know. What if they're into that? What if they like yellow showers or whatever
you're
they're
over
called?
The top.
Golden
showers. What if they like golden showers or
you're over the
eating
top
buttholes
on that one.
Or...
You're
No, I'm...
You're,
no
you're,
way.
You're reaching to try to like find a good argument for this. There is none.
Yeah, no.
There is none.
Okay. Are you telling me it's not a thing for men and women to urinate on each other or on their faces or in their mouths during sex?
To me, no. That's the equivalent.
That's
the equivalent of throwing your dirty tampon in a bagless garbage can. Do you see what I'm saying here? Do you see the problem with that? Do you see what I'm saying?
Like,
do you not think it's
going to
get stuck?
It's disgusting. I see the problem with it. I'm just saying.
Tim just spit up all over his computer.
Oh, no. Get him a towel. You got him, Heidi. You got him.
No, you did it.
Oh, I did. I thought it was
you did it with your tampon thing.
All right, so
in my head, I'm thinking of you pulling out this tampon,
bro,
making a face.
I'm not going to talk about it.
We're not talking about that. All right, so the article goes on to say things like, "I'm going to set up a GoFundMe account for this guy so he can get a divorce." This is gross, right? You know what you think. And one of them actually pointed out, I guess one of the more observant video watchers noticed that apparently there's a cap that goes on the testing end, right? So you pee on the end, but there's a cap that you can put on that covers up the pee on end.
Yes, okay. That's true. Yeah.
And so apparently she put that cover on and then put the into the pop.
It doesn't make it right.
It doesn't. Well, okay. It's still gross. But let me ask you this.
It's still gross.
If she were to wash it, will it remove the sign that says that it's positive?
I don't know. I've never been pregnant, so I don't know.
I don't.
It's a plastic stick.
I don't know. No, I don't honestly know if
that
works.
It has a line or something that shows you. Well, my thing is, if we wash it, will the line go away?
Yeah, because I think if you're getting that, you'd be diluting the result on the stick. But
then she froze it.
But if she put the cap on it, it does seal it. It does seal it. If you put the cap on it, it is sealed. And so maybe if she put the cap on it and cleaned it off, maybe.
Okay, no,
it's disgusting. There's no way to not see it as disgusting. Other than, like I said, for all we know, they're into some kind of kinky shit.
She could, yeah.
She's not in the kinky.
Done with this conversation.
So the worst part about this is when I was looking at this article, the very next article in line was talking about how a woman did the same thing late October last year, but with a McDonald's ice cream cone.
Wait, what?
Oh,
she
no.
put the pregnancy test inside the ice cream cone at McDonald's and gave it to her husband.
What is wrong with these people doing fucking urine?
I know, that's what
together.
I'm saying.
Well, I don't get it.
It's weird.
I don't get it. Just because they say you can drink your urine does not mean
that doesn't
okay
happen
to
when
feed
you beat
it
your
to your
wife.
Husband. I don't. I'm telling you.
How do you know?
Tim, stop
but again,
it.
Any of the older generation,
but again, oh my God. These might be the same men that like to eat asshole. And I'm just saying, you've got to get
we're done. All right, we got to go on.
You got another one, Jeremy?
We're going to spend an hour on the J file.
I do have another one. I have another one. Yeah, hey, we could do the whole J file. I'm fine with that.
One more.
All right. Once again, not reading the headline, just going to go right into the article. If your sex doll has seen better days, we've got some good news for you, as there's now a place where it can go to fix up good and proper. Gamato Haven bills itself as the first and only official real doll certified repair center and offers a spa treatment for your worn out dolls, providing them with the ultimate in rejuvenation. Their team of technicians promise to treat your special companion like a queen and send it back to you good as new, repairing any scuffs or stains it probably suffered over the years.
I got a question.
Yes.
Like, you know, when you're in high school and you're like, when someone's like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Someone's like, you know what? I got a great idea. I'm going to work on sex dolls. I'm going to clean out
rejuvenate.
The stains. I'm going to rejuvenate sex dolls. I'm going to get rid of all the stains from you, from that nasty.
All those women putting pregnancy tests inside of food and drinks. This is what they're doing, is they're refurbishing their sex dolls too. It's just the same.
Okay, look, here's what I'll say.
This is just to join sex dolls. This is why.
To transition into the next conversation, this is what I'm going to say. You know, if people are worried about, you know, student loan forgiveness and how do we help people, I think the federal government, these new IRS agents should be camping out at these places and say, this is the person that's sitting around twiddling their thumbs, wondering what to spend their money on. That guy. Get that guy's money. And you know what I mean? Like, use that money. If it has to come to that. I don't agree. But
have
you
ever bought or been around a sex doll? I'm not. I'm asking. Like, have you ever bought one or been around one?
I've never bought one, but I've seen them.
I mean, like, in somebody's physical possession, personal.
Yeah, I've actually seen one. I was like,
oh my God.
What do they keep it blown up in the corner for access, 24/7 access or something?
Maybe it was a joke.
I had a lot of questions. Yeah, it was a joke. I had, well, you know, because it's like I first walked in, I had a lot of questions, but then I realized.
Yeah. Do you guys, all right, so speaking
we don't.
Virtual women, right? Do you remember the movie? It was an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Sixth Day, where it was the cloning thing, right?
No, I stopped watching his movies a long time ago.
Was it, it was another one.
Junior.
It was Total Recall.
Where he was that was the mind thing. There was a movie where, I think it was called The Seventh Day, where they would cloning people, right? So if someone would die, but they would have their genetics and they would clone them and they'd be back like the next day, right? And this company was doing this illegally. And so they think, not to ruin this story that no one's ever heard of, but basically they think he dies in some sort of like helicopter accident or something, but he actually survived it. And he goes home and the company that he was working for replaced him with a clone of himself.
Pretty sure that's Total Recall.
The Seventh Day is The Seventh Day is a renowned
Seventh Day or Sixth Day?
Oh, you said Seventh.
No, I think it's the Sixth Day. But anyways, in the movie, or if this is even the right movie, there's a scene where his buddy.
Yes.
There's a scene where his buddy gets home, right? This is in the future, right? It's, you know, near future type stuff. So his buddy gets home, right? And this hot girl is waiting for him when he gets home, right? And he's just like, you know, she's talking to him. He's like completely ignoring her. He's throwing his shit on the table, blah, blah, blah. And the reveal is he just like walks right through her. It turns out she's like a hologram.
Yes.
And so she's supposed to represent the company, the whatever you want to call it. What do they call that? Companionship, right? And it's kind of weird how you figure out she's not a human because he just like ends up walking right through her. And you're like, oh, okay. That's why he's ignoring her and treating her like crap. But.
Oh, man. Yes. Yeah. That's you're taking us back to the early 80s. Oh my God.
That no, was... The Sixth Day was in 2000, bro.
Really? No.
Was it that?
That was Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I'm on IMDb right now. That's why
Premise of the show?
A clone of himself.
Wow.
Yeah, a man meets a clone of himself and stumbles into grand conspiracy about clones taking over the world.
That's crazy.
Which ironically, I always say this. Every sci-fi or science fiction book or whatever is based on some kind of reality. So they've been working on this plan for clones to take over and all this crap for a long time. And before we get into the transition into student loans and everything, I texted you with all the craziness going on in the political world of every conservative that's prominent is being attacked, between Donald Trump to Alex Jones to Steve Bannon, to where they don't get fair trials and the Gestapo is just taking over, just shitting on the law, right? Alex Jones was on Steve Bannon's show. They're right. Really weird seeing like the prominent voices all coming together now to really like just drop the hammer.
That's the only way, man.
He was talking about, right. And he was talking about his movie Endgame, because when Bannon was talking about, because the dude, Alex Jones, he's got his own Great Reset book coming out that kind of goes, it's like the anti-Great Reset book where it explains it all. But he's like, dude, if you go back to my movie Endgame, I went into all this back in like 2008 or 2006 or 8, he did this documentary. YouTube killed it, but somebody's been posting clips of it. So one Saturday night, I went through and I watched the whole thing. Bro, this was almost 15 years ago he did this. Everything is right now to the moment of everything he was saying back then is all coming to fruition. And you're just like, wow.
It's almost as if they're using it as blueprint, right? For what to do.
Yeah. Well, because they said, well, because they put the blueprint out there. He was like, guys, this is the blueprint. This is what they're doing. And he's like, this is what we need to fight. And everyone said, oh, you're just crazy, dude. And now everyone's like, oh, shit, we should have probably listened to that.
Well, yeah. And I wonder
a little bit
how much of what's really happening isn't in a cycle, right? How many times has this been tried before?
Not
somewhere. Well, maybe not in America, but, you know, just.
In the world, you're correct.
Fermi
you're
paradox.
Correct. You are 100% correct.
I keep saying it all the time. Yeah. We've been here before.
Maybe we need to do a show on that.
We should. We should.
No, but I've been saying that for years, that it's all cyclical. And even just the past few years, I'm like, hello, Zimbabwe. I mean, people go say, well, you know, Nazis and no. Let's look at something within the last decade. Zimbabwe. But they just in one ear out the other. Let's keep on trucking.
Like, but that was the testbed. So a lot of Africa was the testbed for a lot of this. That's why you see.
But
like
that's what I'm saying. That we're talking in the last decade.
Yeah.
We're talking within our adult. We can reach out and touch it lives. You know.
But before we, you know, because this kind of ties into where we're going. Everybody in America said that would never happen in America.
Not all of us.
Well, no, but
I think we got records of
that. Could never happen in America because America. We're anti-communist and we would never allow communists to take over or any of that ideology. That's just the fringe that's out there. And here we are. It's right in front of us and people going.
In the meantime, the communists are going, here, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Well, they said from day one, they go.
Hold my beer while we invade Ukraine.
The initial plan after World War II was they said, we will slowly turn America communist without firing a single shot. That was their plan. And here it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and it goes into student loan because it's giving people more, right? It's giving these young people more and more. So I'll let, you know, introduce it.
No. Let's get into this. I'd saved the article and for some reason my link isn't working. So let me refine it.
Haven't you learned yet?
Dude, I'm telling you. No. This one is for some reason, I guess I copied the link wrong. So Biden's student loan forgiveness plan to cancel 3 hours ago. Okay, so let me read this one. Now it's 20,000? Jesus. Yeah, now it's 20,000. It went up, guys. I originally heard it was 10,000. But now it's 20.
So it's 10? It's 10 if you hit were one thing, and then 20 if it was something else. Like that was... The whole time it was.
So 20. was that we're taking, if you meet certain criteria, right? If you meet the 10K criteria, they just take 10K off of what you owe. Like if you owe 60, it's now 50, or is it basically if you owe less than 10, we're just going to wipe it clean altogether?
So let me read the article. Okay. And then we'll discuss it. So on Wednesday, President Biden announced a sweeping effort to forgive up to 20,000 of federal student loan debt for Pell Grant recipients and up to 10,000 for other qualifying borrowers. Biden also extended the federal student loan payment pause through December 31st. So that's the caveat for a lot of people here, because we'll talk about it. U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona said in a statement, "Today, we're delivering targeted relief that will help ensure borrowers are not placed in a worse position financially because of the pandemic." I thought we had fixed that, Biden. He tries to blame it on the pandemic. No, this was your fucking executive order that he did. So let me read to your question. To qualify for the $10,000 forgiveness, individual borrowers must earn less than $125,000 a year or less than $250,000 a year for couples. To qualify for the $20,000 forgiveness, borrowers must meet these income requirements and must have received a Pell Grant in college. Pell Grants are designed to help lower income students pay for higher education. And so I guess that's what it is. So now, what was your question, Jeremy?
For years, I can think of at least 6-7 years ago, I started hearing about this, right? When the Democrats were trying to buy 2016, every single one of their candidates was, we're going to forgive student loans. We're going to forgive student loans, blah, 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 right? That was their mantra. And I just have a question, since the Democrats have controlled the House and the Senate for the last 6+ years, right? Since they've started this whole argument, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Close enough, right?
Yeah.
Are we still giving out student loans?
Yeah.
If they're so evil that we can't expect people to pay them back, why are we still giving them out?
Not only that, Jeremy.
Because they're activists.
Not only that. Okay, because we're being a little scattered here, but to your point, most of these altruistic people, these virtual signaling people who feel that, oh, we have to do this, you know, because they're the American. Okay, this shit is being taught in the same goddamn colleges whose tuition has been increasing throughout the decades. Meanwhile, while everything else, the prices are you know what I mean? Like during when the economy was great, everything was, you know, the prices of everything was dropping. Not for college. Everything was going up for college. Why? Because government got into the business of lending. And in fact, the government, elbowed out private companies, private mm-hmm. industry to be able to provide this. And what were you going to say, Tim? I know you're going to say something.
No, I was just waiting. For you to finish your point, because I was going to say, you know, everybody that, all these people making under 125,000, right? It's all these activists, people mm-hmm. that went to school for some political liberal arts. Basically, they're minions. Mm-hmm. The minions of the Democratic Party,
right?
The communists that all went to school. The George Soros paid, people to go burn down cities and shit like that. The Anquifas, you know what I mean? It's all them that have the student loans. So this is why they were all crying. And people need to understand why you need to forgive student loan. People like some Democrat, former state senator from, I forget what state. She's like, you guys don't understand what you're talking about forgiving college. People are like, where do you think this money comes from? Who do you think is paying for that forgiveness?
Well, we get the money from China. So now we owe them a shit ton of money.
The taxpayer.
Right.
You're asking.
And you're not going to pay for your student loans. But guess what? Your kids and your grandkids and your great grandkids and your great great grandkids. They're the ones that are going to be paying for
it. They don't care, Jeremy. They're not having kids. Woman. Yeah.
Well, okay.
That's the thing. You're asking an 80-year-old woman who paid into Social Security now that her taxes got to go towards paying for your college degree. Why? Why are the old paying for your degree? And why are you not fixing the colleges, right? To your point, you know, and to your point, so colleges keep going up. If student loans are so bad and so racist, well, why didn't you tell these colleges, we're funding, you trying to lower your price?
Why are they still offering them? They've been saying for the last 6 years how evil student loans are.
Longer.
They hold down people who can't afford. They go to school and they get a job and they can't buy houses and they can't buy cars and they can't buy food because they're paying their student loan, which is bullshit, by the way. Well, then why are we still giving people loans? Why are we still giving new kids who are getting out of high school right now loans?
Think about
it. If they're so evil and so detrimental to their future, why are we still giving them
the same evil pricks that were in Congress and the Senate in the late 80s, early 90s, 2000s, that kept telling everybody, we need good college educations for our kids and blah, blah, blah. And then Bush comes around and he signs that, because under Bush is when the government took over the student loans, and then Obama just, he ran with it. But all these people that have been in government say, to get a good job, you have to, and the corporations, we only hire people with college. Then you go to college, you do what they tell you to, and then they fuck you. But then the same people that told you and put you in this position are saying, now we got to forgive it because this is racist. Bitch, you're the same ones who told everybody to go to college and told the colleges, you got to hire, you know, you got to have diversity. You got to do all that. And you raped the shit out of these kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you guys, you guys are missing a fundamental piece of what you just said. How many years? 6 years?
Well,
10 years? Hold on.
I have been. Okay, I'm sorry.
Hold on. Bush, Obama, right? So we're talking way more than the last 6 years or so.
You didn't see the impact of school prices going up to where it's at.
I understand. I understand. But regardless, you continue to hear how student loan forgiveness, but you see no action. They've had control. There could have been action, but that's not part of it. Yeah, the part it has. No, you're not saying that. What you're saying is this. They keep talking about this and it's going to happen. Yeah. No, it's not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have happened because they've been in control to make the change, to make it happen for decades.
You're talking about the relief.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
I'm not talking about the relief. I'm talking about why are we still giving out these loans to people who can't afford to pay them back?
Because the government owns them and then the government owns you because you owe the money to the government. They're not giving you a relief. They're not going to do it.
They're buying your vote back by saying, you owe $150,000
about more things that they're never going to give you.
You owe $150,000 to student loans to the government. Well, tell you what, I'll give you 10 grand off of that if you vote for me.
Well,
that is exactly what they're doing. So, this is exactly what they're doing.
That was the point you were going to bring up,
yeah,
wasn't it? About when you talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I'm sorry. Did I?
No.
It's right there.
Look, to Heidi's point that she made about Margaret Thatcher, you know, because there's the great economist. What is it? Milton Friedman.
Talked
about this. I think he had a mini series called A Time to Choose, where he went over a lot of these things. And a lot of people had good intentions. It sounds good. This is the problem with not falling for things. Oh, that sounds beautiful. Yeah, No Child Left Behind. What a beautiful statement. But when you iron out the details, what the fuck does that mean? Some children.
The devil is definitely in the detail.
Exactly. And even conservative parents today are making the same goddamn mistake, because here's what you'll hear. What you'll hear is, conservative parents who are paying money. I know personal friends of mine who grew up in very conservative homes, who went to these liberal colleges and who were completely converted and who have now been, you know what I mean? And so conservative parents themselves are sending their kids to be indoctrinated by these factories. So we're to blame as much as the rest of America. We've played a role in here because we've bought this whole fucking idea. Look, how many people before, I mean, you could have a family of whatever, 5, 10, and just the husband was working. And what has changed? What has changed? And it's because we've become a debt society, because we have said it's good to be in the student loan debts for your own education. Meanwhile, we're not asking the question, well, how much does the job that you're going to get based on that degree, how much is that going to cost you? It doesn't make sense to get to get this college degree, and the parents should be saying, I'm not paying for it. But they're not asking those questions. All they hear is Ivy League. All they hear is, this, you know, prestigious institution. That's all they care about. They used
Not even the prestigious ones.
Exactly.
They just have to go to college for 4 years. They need a 4-year degree or they'll never make it in life. Really?
Well, think about it.
Ask Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Ask Bill Gates. Do they have 4-year degrees? No. They're one of the richest people on the planet.
And I mean, I could 100% say this. In my household, my dad was an immigrant from Italy, okay? And his big thing was, he was a blue-collar guy. He had to hustle to get his money. And his whole thing was, go to school, get an education, and get a good job. Don't bust your hump like I had to do, right? Okay. That was because in his mind, from hearing all the other politicians and things, and when you see what you had to go through to provide for your family, I paved the way so you don't have to break your back and do manual labor and, you know, bust your, go get a good paying job, work for. But what happened was, with all that, we lost other skills, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't build a damn thing. I could barely use a screwdriver. And I admit that, right? Can I use a screwdriver? Yes. But if, like, around my house, I own a house, but if something breaks, I'm calling my cousin, I'm calling Jeremy. Hey, can you help me out here? Because in my head, I could see where it's broken, what needs to be done, but I really don't know what to do. And I don't want to turn a $2 problem into a $200,000 problem.
Wow.
No, but you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
So we lost that. These generations lost that skill. And unfortunately, my dad and other immigrant parents like him, and I'm sure maybe even, you know, your mom or other people, yeah, you know, from the Hispanic community that were immigrant, you know, they all told they wanted a better life for their kids. And they were, everybody kept saying, that's why I say the same people that are crying now about student loan put you in this mess and brainwash everybody, even in school, in high school. You got to go to college, get a job. And they spent years demeaning blue collar workers.
You can trace the downfall of this thing when the federal government got involved. This thing started declining soon as the Fed, to Reagan's point, when the government said, we're going to step in and we're going to help. That's when the shit hit the fan and things are getting worse.
It's all supply and demand, right? We live in a world of supply and demand, right? Someone is demanding a product. Someone is willing to supply that product for a certain price. And when the government got in, they screwed around with that supply and demand, right? Previously, only certain people could afford to go to college, right? There was a set amount. Let's say the supply was 10 out of 100 kids could actually afford to go to college. And so the colleges had to work with a supply or demand, I should say, of 10 students. Well, then the government got involved, right? Initially, it wasn't necessarily them supplying loans, but it was them subsidizing banks to give loans and encouraging people, hey, your kids need to go to college. Even if you can't afford it, you need to mortgage your house and you need to take out these loans that the banks are offering, right? And so it went from 10 to 20 to 30 to the point now where if your kids don't have a four-year education, they're doomed. They're going to be living on the street. They're going to be selling popsicles on the side of the road, right?
It's all a lie.
It is all a big lie.
I went to a D3 state school, okay?
Right.
My entire tuition, and I did it in like 3 years, right? And I did summer school and winter sessions and all that. My tuition bill was, I think, maybe $18,000 for all of college. All of college, $18,000. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's
the luck that won't
that won't get you half a year.
I'm looking at my college now for New York State residents. It's $3,500 a semester, $7,000 a year to go to college.
So when
a 4-year degree that I paid $18,000 for is double.
Yeah.
More if you're a resident.
If you're a resident. Right.
So I remember when I was going to like Glendale, started out in Glendale, right? It was $300 a credit hour, right? So you would sign up for one class. It was 3 credit hours, right? So that was $900. And then you would take like what? It was like four or five classes. You're supposed to take 16 hours a semester to be full time, right? Wasn't that right?
4 classes, yeah.
18.
Yeah, so that's 4 basically classes, so. 5. Yeah.
4 and 3 is...
Right, because some of them were 3 credit hours and some were 4 credit hours. Right, so you were supposed to mix in a couple of 4 credit hours to get to your 16. So you're talking 300 times 16. What is that? That's $4,000 a semester. So if you went for 8 semesters,
yeah,
you're looking at $3,200 or $32,000 at the most, right?
Which is a waste.
Like, well, what the hell?
So I'll tell you this.
Right, yeah.
So as somebody who I dropped out, I realized quickly right away that I was wasting my money. I really did. Like because that was accumulating. And one of my first jobs, I told you guys this, was as a student loan advisor. And I'm sitting there talking to kids who couldn't pay their debt and who were wondering, how do I get a loan? You know what the qualifications were at that time? At that time, I think they even got worse now.
Can you
all
breathe?
You had to do was had a social security. No, there was no test to qualify for a federal whatever grant to go to college. All you had to do was, do you have a social security number? That's the only requirement, dude. There was no fucking test.
For a grant?
For like a federal help, yeah.
Loan, for a loan. Because a grant and a loan are very different.
But the same, I mean, you when they would apply, they would apply for both. And all they had to do was have a social security number, and that was it. This is, and you're telling me that these are the people who had good intentions. This is all a lie. Look, and I'll tell you this. Another reason why I hated school to begin with. Even though I went freaking honors and advanced everything through my life, I hated it. I never did homework and I barely did any just to get by. This is the honest truth, guys. I graduated with C's. I hated school. But here's the thing. And I wasn't stupid. I wasn't dumb. I was like, I'm wasting my goddamn time here. I don't like this. And I went to a class. This is one of the first classes I went to. It was a philosophy class. Listen to this shit. I walk in and the teacher sits down, obese teacher, freaking like, oh my God. That even at that time was like, what the fuck is wrong with this lady? She sits down. And this is her words, dude. This is what she says. She's like, all right, students, I just want to let you know that I am as much a student as you are a teacher. And she's like, and you guys are going to teach me as much as I'm going to teach you. And then I look around and I'm wondering, does anybody hear this stupidity? Now, my mistake was that I stayed there a little longer. And I'll tell you one of the things that she did in this class. And this is the day that I quit. So one of the things that she did was there was a very, I think she was Mormon because she was wearing like, you know, the long dress, you know, down to her ankles. And, you know, she looked Mormon, either Mormon or Amish, whatever. And she was sitting there. She calls me and her to the front of the class. Okay. And she puts us at each end. And then she says this, and I don't even know what point she was trying to prove, but this is what she does. She puts us at each, we're in the front of the class at each end of the room. And she says, all right, walk towards each other, right? So we walk towards each other. We get to the center and we're both facing each other. Okay. And then she says, all right, keep going. And I'm looking at the girl and I'm looking at the teacher. I'm like, I can't keep going. She's right in front of me. She's like, just keep going. And so, and so what happens is the girl moves over. I keep walking and then she keeps going. Right. And then she says, do you guys see what happened here? Right. She looks at the class and she says, do you guys see what happened here? And she says, let me explain, right? And again, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. She says, the reason she moved, and she goes, he's from a Hispanic home. He comes from a patriarchy, because we were discussing the patriarchy. You listen to this shit. She's like, the reason she moved is because the male is dominant in the Hispanic culture, and in her religion, it's mostly that men are, you know, the whatever, leaders. And so that's why she moved. And I raised my hand because I was not going to have another bullshit because I've always been opinionated. And I said, hold on. I said, no matter what she did, you would have said the same thing. If I would have moved, you would have said, ah, see, he sees himself as the dominant man and let the docile female go. And so your point could have been the same thing. Chivalry. I said, what are you trying to prove here? I got so angry, first of all, at her making assumptions like that and kind of tearing down what, you know, I believe in, because I grew up in a religious home. And I'm like, this bitch, what the fuck is she doing? Like, and so and I can mark the day when I was like, I'm wasting my goddamn money in college. And to prove my point, guys, you know, how many people do I know that are in the career path that I've taken who have college degrees and I'm making more money than them? So my point is proven. You wasted your goddamn money and you were lied to. Because a lot of people can go and start a business. We are stifling a lot of these kids who have the ability to go start a business, wasting their time in a goddamn classroom. It's true.
There used to be, I remember there's a movie, Secret to My Success, Michael J. Fox, right? He goes to college. He goes to college, right? He goes out and he wants to be a businessman, right? That's his goal. I want to be a big businessman, right? So he moves out of some small Kansas town or whatever, and he moves to New York because he's gonna start business in, you know, the big business, right? And he goes to all these job interviews and they're like, well, do you have any experience, you know, all these different interviews, do you have any experience? No, but I have college. So, well, why did I go to college? And one of the interviewers at, you know, he asked him, well, then why did I go to college if you're looking for experience? He's like, well, you had a good time, right?
Exactly.
And so the answer exactly. was and it, but one of the guys ended up explaining to him, he's like, look, here's the deal. If you would have came to us 4 years ago for an internship, you would have this job right now.
Yes.
But instead, 4 years ago, you went to college, spent God knows how much. I mean, this is back in the 80s, so it was still a lot of money, but it still wasn't ridiculous like it is now, right? He's like, you spend all that money, and if you had come here 4 years ago as an intern, you would have that job that you're interviewing for right now.
Yeah.
It's true. And it's like, true. Well, what's the point? So what's the point?
So let's think about this, right? Everything we've been talking about, right? The country's on a decline. You're seeing this liberal, progressive craziness coming up. If the quickest way to convert a nation and destroy a nation or get rid of this capitalistic society and get into stakeholder capitalism instead of shareholder capitalism, with these activists, right? With ESGs. you need your army in the workforce to push this. So if you tell everybody you have to go to college, you get them stuck in college.
You spend
4 years indoctrinating them, not teaching them anything. Then they go get a job that they can't make money. They're angry. And then you're told that it's the man's fault. It's Republicans' fault. It's capitalism's fault. And then you get into these companies and they're like, well, yeah, you got to change this. And now you're like, yeah, we got to have stakeholder. We all got to have a say. We got to.
Oh, my God.
The CEO shouldn't make $5 million. We should all split this equally. It's like, no, you're a cog in the wheel, right? But anyway. Yeah.
They're giving way too much power to these idiots that should have no say whatsoever in any of it.
But this is how you do a revolution without firing a bullet. Okay. You get these people in these positions. Me and him were going back and forth with some of the crap. And I was like, bro. And I sent him like a little thing. And then he's like, dude, yeah, I know it's getting crazy. Then he sends me something and he's like, bro, this is some crazy shit. And I'm like, and I'm sure you, with some of the things you have to do, and you're all looking at it going, what? This is not having nothing to do about work, but they have to check that ESG box. And even down to when you fill out a job, when you fill out whatever the fuck.
Job applications.
They're saying now, do you agree with supporting and being part of diversity, equity, and inclusion? Yes or no?
Well,
Jeremy.
It's going to get to the point, you can check no,
and you won't be held against
It's going to get to the point where they're going to look at your social media history and what you've posted. That's what's coming.
I sent that to
good luck.
No, I sent that to
good luck.
Yeah, it's going to be. What did you register at?
Good luck.
That's how this shit is coming. Now, I did want to make a point because, look.
Hold on. You're saying I haven't looked for a job for, I just got my 15-year anniversary thing from work, right? Yeah, I've been there 15 years. So I haven't looked for a job in 15 years. And so you're saying right now, if I were to go out and look for a job, I would submit my resume and they would probably send me some sort of application or whatever to
on
to
LinkedIn.
Check.
On LinkedIn when you go all through and you go through their.
I don't have LinkedIn, so.
Or if somebody sends you, if you go to a website and you're like, oh, careers.
You go to the company website. Careers, fill out this form.
Yeah, it's
this form is going to say, are you okay with diversity? And
yeah.
It also asks you if you have your COVID vaccines and if
some of them do. Yeah.
Them.
Okay.
Some of them do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
mandatory.
Then you're saying that right now they're stating that if I choose no, I'm not okay with this. They're not supposed to hold it against me.
Right. They have a blurb that says this doesn't mean by clicking no, it doesn't mean you won't be selected for the job or for an interview.
Bullshit.
But, mm-hmm.
They have to say that because if they say no, that's...
Because I know people that have filled out those applications and they're immediately bypassed.
Right.
Like, but, it is almost immediate thing.
Right.
But
they can't... You're not allowed to discriminate. So if they...
Right. So there's all kinds of laws that you're not allowed to discriminate because of age. You're not race, sex. You're not supposed to discriminate on any of that.
How can you tell somebody...
Why is it okay for them to put that on the application then? Because that is clearly... The only reason... That question is on that form is for them to discriminate against you about it.
Well,
there's no other reason for that question to be on the form.
Not paying attention,
Jeremy,
that
only a bigot would think like you, Jeremy. That's how they justify it. Because
it doesn't matter because the law, you can't do that.
Doesn't exist.
You're right, Jeremy.
Jeremy is not understanding the full. Yeah, like there's times where I think, are you really this blind?
Well,
and he is, but
they're willing to break the law.
Rules for thee and not for me, right?
Yeah.
We're allowed to ask you what your, what color, we're not allowed to ask you your religion. We're not allowed to ask you what color your skin is. We're not allowed to ask you your sexual preference, but we're allowed to ask you, are you okay with XYZ
social. If they get you on the social now,
I understand there's a difference between going to the company website, putting in your name, your resume, and checking a couple of boxes than it is for them after I've done all that to go out and look on social media to find out what is this person like. That's different, right?
That's your background check.
The thing is, if you did that for me, you wouldn't find anything because I don't have any of that.
Right. And
that's why they're asking you the questions.
Well,
but again, the whole point of all of this, and then as we're going to wrap up, the whole point of all this is 100% to strip all of the civil liberties, everything. When they say civil right, no, that doesn't exist anymore. That's just a big buzzword so they can go pass some big bills and everything. They are stripping away every single thing. And because you know what happens? We go, oh, yes, we surrender because we're wrong. You know, and you get half the population surrendering.
Yeah.
And the other half is going, you're crazy.
So
but
to Tim's point and kind of bring it together here, there was a point that you made, Tim, and I get a message. I get messages from friends, you know, who listen to the show. And obviously, you know, a lot of times we'll do gloom and doom type of conversations, right, that we have, especially when we talk in politics. And a lot of times, you know, people will ask, well, what can we do? What should we be doing? And here is what I will say. And this is a lot of the stuff that the new alliance that's happening between the conservative movement that I'd like to see. And I tell you that this is the only way that we can win. And what we need to do is we need to get off their systems. So you're a conservative parent and you're wondering, how do I combat this? Do not send your kids to these colleges. You're wasting your money. You're sending your kid off to be indoctrinated. And if you think that no matter how much you inculcated in your kid to have conservative values, and you think they're going to be able to hold on to that while they're in these institutions, you're wrong. You are wrong. I'm telling you, it is
in
an anomaly.
In the meantime.
Yep.
Hold on though. In the meantime, your doctors, your, like, there are still kids out. You have to have some belief and faith that some parents are raising their children strong enough, because otherwise your medical facilities will be overrun, which is going to take also away and feed into it. So you have to find
medical facilities.
There's got to be conservative family. Yes, there's got to be conservative families and children out there that can go through the education to become doctors and combat. Okay,
I think a lot of what we were talking about and a lot of the degrees are out there are trash. And even the hard sciences, dude, how many people do I see interviewing these people who are in Ivy League schools who can't answer basic government questions, basic geographic questions? You know, where is North America? What state, what countries make North America? Oof. They don't know. They don't know. Where is Africa?
My point is,
they
just be specific about what you're talking about when you say
I am being specific. Conservatives need to start their own institutions and go back to this. We cannot participate in this. This is the only way we're going to be able to do it. Because again, conservative parents think that they've inculcated in their kids to have these values. You didn't. I'm sorry. It's an anomaly for kids who do. Most kids don't. I saw it with my own eyes, with my own friends who grew up in conservative homes. Within a year, they were brainwashed. They were gone. And so who said this? One of the founding fathers. He said, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation is the philosophy of government in the next. This is what happens when when we gave that up. We said, well, it's the only way we're going to be able to make them be doctors. Is it? It's a whole lie. We've bought into this because we don't want to, you know, shake it up. No, my kid's going to be the exception. Wrong. You are completely wrong. This is how we lost this. Let me wrap this up. Look, sorry, Tim.
I was going to make one quick point.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to make one quick point. As you were saying, what can you do, right? Don't, you know, support other conservatives, stick within your bubble, but you got to learn how to fight. But a couple key things that happen. You want to know how you want to know how you win? Get involved. You have to. Yeah. You can't sit on the sidelines anymore. Last night,
to be a poll worker, Tim. I'm starting.
Doesn't matter. But here's the thing. You're a parent. You got kids in school. You don't like the shit being taught. Run for school board. Okay. Yesterday in Florida, multiple counties, big counties, the biggest county in Florida, Miami-Dade County, Miami, liberal blue Miami. They flipped the school board yesterday.
Yes, beautiful.
4-1 conservative. Okay. This is how you win. To your point, one generation of school, you know, and this is the generation of government. There you go. They've been indoctrinating these kids for years, and this is what you see. But now you have conservatives stepping up, parents stepping up and winning these seats, okay? Everybody thinks you got to make the change at the federal level. That's a bunch of bullshit. It's about your local. You're worried about your elections? Stand up. Go be a poll observer, okay? Go be a precinct committeeman, right? There's a lot of literature out there. Go look at Dan Schultz, precinctcommitteeman.com, right? Precinctcommitteestrategy.com, okay? You can go be a poll observer. Hit up the county. Go be a poll worker. go learn the election process. And when instead of sitting around, go, oh, everything is, yes, some of the rigging is there, but a lot of the crap is based on the bad processes. Get involved. The more voices that get involved and the more people, you can make a change, right? Then at that point, run for a councilman position in your local city, right? Phoenix is becoming a cesspool. I'm actually highly considering throwing my name in that, but I don't got the money and I know I would lose the patience and I would say something stupid on the campaign trail. So I probably couldn't do that. But
your opponent would play this podcast.
But don't say, well, I have to do this because I love the Republican Party. No, the Republican Party does not love you. Most of them do not like you.
No.
You love your community. You step up for your community. Conservative, your morals and your ideas first, not party. Your
right.
Ideas,
yeah. There's too many issues with Republicans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you tie your train to that, you know,
you are in control of your local community. You can make the biggest change in your local. Going to Washington, D.C. ain't making a change. You ain't making nothing over there. You want to get Washington, D.C. scared? You change shit locally, and now their asshole's puckering. Guess what? Republicans can't run on abortion anymore. You know why? Roe versus Wade's been overturned. There goes that grift for 50 years.
All right.
So,
thanks.
And that's it, Joe. No, let me, I'll just wrap it up here because we were talking about student loan repayment and we'll just leave it with this one topic. But, you know, I did see some dad approaches this woman. He said, look, Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas. And he's like, look, I saved.
Pocahontas.
He's like, I saved. To, you know, for my kids, and that, you know, and now you're telling me that I have to pay for somebody else. And you know, on the comments, because I think Jim Jordan. Yeah. He posted this and a lot of the leftists came out and they were responding. They were saying, look, I paid off my debts too. And I'm okay with, you know, my tax dollars going to that. And I think this shows the difference between leftists and the rest of America. That just because you're okay with it doesn't mean that you get to impose this on the rest of us, you know, who don't support it, you know, who decided to not go to college because you didn't want to waste your money on that. And the vast majority of people don't support this. And they know this. And this is why they're going about it this way. Biden's going to pass some freaking type of, you know, rule. I don't know how he's going to get. It's not an executive order. It's not a law. I don't know what it is.
It's illegal.
Yeah. So
Congress has to pass
this. This is what they did. They fucked up the economy and then realized that their popularity was declining. And as a way to save it, they're now buying your vote, to Jeremy's point in the beginning. This is a way that this is how they function, folks. This is the way that it always has been. They take your wallet and then expect you to be thankful because they gave you $10 from it. And again, this is the problem when government takes control over institutions. They use it as a way to manipulate, to coerce. And the lemmings are buying it. And so this has been their plan all along. And the way we combat it, to Tim's point, is we participate, we volunteer. One of the interesting things that I got in the letter that, you know, told me that, you know, they had accepted me, he's like, one of the things that that highlighted your, you know, whatever, was because you spoke Spanish. And I think that you would be, you know, we could send you out. Are you okay with going out to these other counties and whatever? I'm like, sure. And I know exactly where they're going to put me. They're going to put me in freaking prison. And I'm okay for that. Because if I can observe this shit and be a whistleblower, I will do it, bro. I'm going to have my eyes wide open, both my glasses on, nearsighted and farsighted. I'll be ready. All right. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. We're on Instagram, Getter. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
Get involved.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.
.com.